Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
Doing well, Keith. How about yourself?
I am all right. I'm all right. How are you? I mean, I've already asked that. are you still good?
It's a really big music week, so we have a lot to talk about. So I'm doing great.
Thank you for the segue, because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Harry Styles' As It Was returns to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart for an 11th week, the most weeks atop the list in over 2 years, and how Steve Lacy's Bad Habit climbs to a new high on the Hot 100, rising 6-3. And on the Billboard 200 Albums chart, Demi Lovato scores their eighth consecutive top 10, the entirety of their charting releases, while Madonna makes history with the debut of Finally Enough Love, becoming the first woman with a new top 10 album in each decade since the 1980s.
Okay. Also on the show, we are talking about Taylor Swift announcing a brand new album. Not her next re-record, but a new project at Sunday's MTV VMAs. It's called Midnights, and it's coming in October, and Keith and I will talk all about it. Plus, Britney Spears and Elton John's Hold Me Closer has finally arrived. Is it everything we wanted and more? Stay tuned to find out. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
All right, let's do the chart chat. First up, on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, Harry Styles' As It Was returns to number one for an 11th non-consecutive week.
Wow.
That's the most weeks at number one since early 2020, when Roddy Ricch's The Box wrapped an 11-week stay at number one.
I just feel like I haven't noticed that it's been there for 11 weeks, you know?
Well, just, here's the thing.
It just snuck up on me.
It hasn't been consecutive.
Right.
Because it's shown tremendous staying power on the chart, as the 11 weeks it's had at number one have been over the course of five different stays at number one.
Wow.
Meaning it would be number one for a week or two or more, and then step away from number one, and then come back, and then step away and come back, and step away and come back, and step away and come back.
It's a game of double dutch.
But no song has ever had five different visits to number one in the history of the chart until now.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Also, As It Was is one of only 27 songs with at least 11 weeks at number one. So it's a big hit.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're saying here.
A long roundabout way of saying it's a big hit. Also, last week's number one, Nicki Minaj's Super Freaky Girl falls to number seven in its second week on the chart. Next up, staying with the Hot 100, Steve Lacy's rising hit, Bad Habit, hits a new high, climbing 6-3 in its eighth week on the chart. Fun point to ponder, Bad Habit debuted at number 100. If the song goes to number one, it will be the second number one this year by a song that debuted at number 100, following Glass Animals' Heat Waves. And actually, only 11 songs, including Heat Waves, have debuted at number 100 and then later hit number one.
That is crazy. I remember talking about that earlier this year on the podcast, and here we are potentially again.
Here we are again. Soon we're going to have a list of all the songs that debuted at number one, debuted number 100 and then later hit number one. I see a list on Billboard.com, Katie.
Yes, yes.
After last week's show where we talked about Blackpink And, you know, could the girl group hit the top 10 on the Hot 100 with Pink Venom? Well, it debuts at number 22 on the Hot 100 this week. So congrats to the girls. And over on the Billboard Global 200 chart, it swoops in at number one.
Yeah, on both global charts, right? Number one. So not no small feat.
I hear they're popular all around the world. Lastly, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Bad Bunny's Un Verano Sin Ti returns to number one, scoring its ninth non-consecutive week atop the list. That ties the Encanto soundtrack for the most weeks at number one in 2022. Plus, Demi Lovato and Madonna both see their latest albums debut in the top 10. For Lovato, their F Love starts at number seven, but also atop the, get ready for this, Top Rock and Alternative Albums chart, Top Rock Albums chart, and Top Alternative Albums chart, their first number one on all three. Plus, the set is Lovato's eighth consecutive top 10 on the Billboard 200, the entirety of their charting releases.
Wow. I'm sure Demi is quite proud of that, because I feel like, you know, as a lifelong rock fan, being on top of all those charts is pretty crazy.
All right. Well, as for Madonna, her remix retrospective, Finally Enough Love, as if you haven't heard enough about it on this podcast before, debuts at number eight on the Billboard 200, making her the first woman with a new top 10 album in each decade since the 1980s.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. That's also the name of a Madonna song that's not on this album, but she has recorded a song called Amazing. It's on the Music album from the year 2000. In total, Finally Enough Love is Madonna's 23rd top 10, and that ties her with Bob Dylan for the fourth most top 10s among soloists.
Wow. Well, once again, didn't need an excuse to talk about Madonna. Our lady is on the charts.
We'll see how creative I get next week.
Okay, well, moving over to some headlines on Billboard.com. Taylor Swift has a new album on the way, and not a re-recorded album, a brand new album. The superstar made the announcement while taking home the final MTV VMA on Sunday night for Video of the Year, which was the third of her career, by the way, a VMA's record for her All Too Well short film. And during her acceptance speech, Swift revealed that her next full length is out on October 21st. I thought it might be a fun moment to tell you that my brand new album comes out October 21st, said Swift, and I will tell you more at midnight. And then we found out after a countdown on TaylorSwift.com that she took to her socials and announced the album is called Midnights, which she called, quote, the stories of 13 sleepless nights scattered throughout my life. It seems like a missed opportunity to have 12 tracks on an album called Midnights, but her lucky number is 13. So
there you go. There you go. It all makes sense now.
So the upcoming album will be her first new album since the 1-2 punch of Folklore and Evermore, which was her indie folk projects that were recorded in the early days of the pandemic and were released in the second half of 2020. We, of course, have gotten many Taylor's version re-releases since then and, you know, more on the way. But I have a lot of questions, so I just thought I'd like throw some like lightning round questions at you, Keith. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So let's start with, and I mean, I'm fine to just talk about this too, but let's start with, what do we think the genre is going to be with the limited information we have about Midnight so far? We have a sort of noir looking cover of her with like holding a lighter. We have 13 songs. We have the theme of midnights and sleepless nights. She's obviously made a pivot
Taylor
from
Swift,
country to pop
record.
To indie. Yeah, I mean, who knows? But yeah, I mean, do you have any instinct like about what the genre, you know, or what the vibe could be?
Midnight jazz. It's a blues album from Taylor Swift.
Maybe it'll be like some ASMR, like spoken word, you know, to help you fall asleep at night.
Ocean waves with Taylor yes. doing like
white
spoken
noise.
Word poetry over
white
the
noise
top.
With Taylor Swift.
Yeah. The sequel will be Nooners.
Oh, God. No, it will not.
No. All right. Maybe it'll be a sequel. It'll be like, you know, Before Sunrise, After Sunset.
I'm down with that. I mean, yeah, she could go a lot of directions with that. But I have to say, one hint that I'm taking, and Taylor does nothing accidentally. So this I'm taking this hint seriously. She wore sort of an outfit inspired by Midnight's for her VMA after party look. And it was like a kind of a like a romper, like a navy satin romper with stars on it. So it looked kind of like a night sky. And then this huge fur, you know, not sure what the story on the fur, vintage fur, whatever the case may be. Beautiful fur coat over. But the look was very like mid 70s, which got me sort of excited because I was thinking like maybe we're thinking like Joni or Stevie. Like these are the vibes I was getting from this outfit. And that's what I kind of was wondering if maybe the direction musically could be 70s poet, you know, it's not exactly folk. It's like pop, like a pop poetry sort of thing.
Sure.
Which that's what I was wondering.
I mean, when you said, like, you know, romper with stars and a fur coat, I'm like, oh, okay, Studio 54, 70s?
It was a little, like, no, it's a little earlier than Studio 54. It wasn't exactly disco. It was a little more, I don't know, it was a little Stevie Nicks to me.
A little, like, floppy hat, 70s California
rock. Oh, you could definitely
rock.
Throw a floppy hat on that look, for sure. 100%.
Who can't throw a floppy hat on a look?
Throw a floppy hat on it.
Just throw a floppy hat on it. It makes everything better. It's like a champagne float on something. You can always make it better with a champagne float or a floppy hat. I think it's interesting that we're getting midnights?
Mm-hmm. Plural.
Before the rumored 1989 re-recording.
We don't know that, Keith.
Oh, then again, we don't know. It could the 1989 could show up on Friday for all
that's
we know.
I mean, that's the other thing. So that not to jump, you know, ahead, but I'm also wondering what this means for the re-recording schedule. Like, we don't really know where we're going next. There've been a lot of, like, you know, speculation about why we haven't gotten 1989 yet, because we've actually gotten a few songs from 1989 at this point. And actually this summer in that DC Super Pets movie with The Rock and Kevin Hart, she did the blue bloods, like Tom Selleck, don't mind me, the Bad Blood Taylor's version for that movie. And I know she had previously done Wildest Dreams for a film like last year. And so there are tastes of 1989 out there. We're clearly circling 1989, but like, what is the holdup? I don't know. Is that next? Is it before Midnight's? Is it after Midnight's? Is it this year? Is it next year? Okay. We don't know, do we, Keith?
All right. No, we don't. And we won't know until she shows up on another awards show to announce that she has a new album dropping that night.
You're right. You're right. So we wait. Okay, my final question. I'm already jumping ahead to, like, because this is Taylor Swift, like, the awards schedule. So obviously October 21st, that is past the Grammys eligibility date. But it does put you firmly in a space to release a lead single that is Grammy eligible.
Time before the end of September, which would be Grammy eligible.
So, that's the plan, right?
Yeah, but wouldn't that also make her go up against her own All Too Well Taylor's version?
Ooh, that is a great point, Keith. That's a great point. But maybe she thinks then she'll give people options. It's like if you're into the re-record, but then it'll go against, then
no,
it'll split the vote.
No, you don't want options. You just, what you then do is just you don't put forth anything. You wouldn't put more than one song.
You would
up.
Choose one. Okay, we will, of course, keep you very posted on all the updates with Taylor Swift's new music. We are very excited to have Taylor back in our orbit. And moving on to some other new music. We talked a lot about Britney Spears and Elton John's rumored collaboration on a previous podcast. And now, Hold Me Closer is a reality. So let's take a listen.
Hold me closer, time to dance. Count the headlines on the highway.
Okay, so produced by Grammy winner Andrew Watt, friend of the podcast, alongside Circuit. Hold Me Closer features Britney and Elton singing the verses of John's 1992 hit, The One, over a club-ready beat before diving into the chorus of 1971's Tiny Dancer. It was a hit in 1972, but released in 71. Anyway, this is totally in the same vein as Cold Heart, the Panau remix with Dua Lipa, which combined four of Elton's songs together in a new, you know, patchwork hit. And in fact, I don't know if you saw this, Keith, but Elton told The Guardian in an interview ahead of the Hold Me Closer release that he wants to do one of these a year. This is like his new thing, and why not? He said, his quote was, "I want to do one every year for a fun, happy summer record." I'm very down with this. Sure. I say go for it, Elton. He also revealed that it was his husband, David Furnish's idea to call Britney specifically for it. But yeah, I just to put it out there, like, this song is great. I was so happy. Like, we've talked, you know, we talked about this before when it was just an idea and not exactly knowing what it was, the vibe was going to be like. And I listened to this song repeatedly over and over and over again Friday when it was released. It is just a breezy. I think summer is the perfect vibe for it. It is like a tropical house sort of beat. Super fun. And I was so happy because, like, I feel like it's been a minute since we had Britney music. And obviously, there's been a lot of very, you know, challenging Britney news out there. This is just a happy slice of pop music. And I was very pleased about it. Keith, did you have thoughts after hearing it?
I mean, you're covering two Elton John songs that are great. So
the result is great.
In theory, it should work.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to bring together Elton and Britney Spears, two of our biggest pop stars, and you're going to have them do a mashup cover of two of Elton John's great songs, by gosh, I hope it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
And it seems like also like a very safe thing to do, as we've talked about before, where it's like this is a safe move for both Elton and Britney. To do something where that's kind of like a low stakes situation.
Yeah.
And also, I think, you know, Britney has talked about how I think Tiny Dancer was one of her favorite songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
and she said Elton John is her favorite artist of all time, too.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it all works out. And clearly, you know, just looking from a purely kind of business standpoint, putting aside kind of the complications of Britney's life, just from a purely business standpoint, this makes a lot of sense to do after Cold Heart with Dua Lipa.
Yes.
Where it's like, all right, look, we had success with that. This could be like a slow burning, long lasting radio hit that keeps Britney and Elton on the airwaves, on streaming services, becomes like a surprise hit, and is just nothing but like, hey, it's a great pop song to keep people like interested in Elton and Britney for something that's about the music, not about kind of all the other drama swirling around Britney.
Totally. And, you know, we should mention Britney posted and deleted a voice memo, 22-minute voice memo, where she really like unleashed a lot of details and information and accusations and allegations about her time in the conservatorship that, you know, controlled her personal and professional life for 13 plus years. And, you know, we had speculated in the earlier episode that, you know, Elton John kind of maybe understood where, you know, Britney needed a, you know, support system after all of that, like somebody in the industry who maybe understood having darker times and coming out of them like Elton does. And then in this Guardian interview, he says exactly that. Basically, I always want to be the person who extends a helping hand to someone in a bad spot. He literally referred to himself as Uncle Elton. Like, I want to be Uncle Elton. Like, people can come to me when they need help. So he, you know, made that very clear that that was one of his intentions with teaming up with Britney. And the fact that now, after this song is released, she felt comfortable to, you know, speak more about, you know, her last decade plus and just speak openly and be, you know, newly confident about everything and independent and free, you know, to say the very least. It's like it all works together. The music, her speaking out, all of it. It's like Britney's got a platform again and is able to speak for herself. And it's a really nice moment.
Yeah.
So yay. Yay all around. So thanks to Uncle Elton. Keith,
I wish Elton could be my uncle.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm still going to ask you anyway. Do we have any idea where this could end up on the Hot 100 next week, Keith?
Oh, it's funny. I actually started to write something wrong in the script earlier. Because I had typed in the wrong chart code into our system. And it showed that that Hold Me Closer had debuted at number 30. And I'm like, it already debuted after just...
Was it on radio songs or something?
And I was looking at pop airplay.
Yeah.
And I had made... Because I was looking up something else. And Then I got confused. I'm like, did the song come out a week and a half ago and I'm that just out of it? But no, it debuted at number 30 on the pop airplay chart after only like 3 days of airplay.
Yeah, it's Friday through Sunday, right? That's wow. That's amazing for that chart.
For that particular chart. So if that's any indication, and it wasn't just pop airplay, it was all, it also had support at adult pop airplay and I think even adult contemporary. So unless it was just like a one-day fluke, this seems like it should actually have some solid airplay out of the gate. I assume that its sales will be significant because there's a lot of Britney fans who are just wanting to support, but also it has the kind of right vibe that iTunes, like Elton, there's still a lot of people that are going to buy Elton John and Britney Spears songs on iTunes, whereas a lot of younger people, have moved on to streaming services. But this could also do well on streamers as well. So I'm fairly confident this should have a nice debut on the Hot 100 next week. Now, does that mean it's top 10? I don't know. Is it top 40? That seems likely. But then again, I could be completely wrong. I'm literally just making a wild guess because I don't manage that chart. Go talk to Gary.
You know what's interesting, though? You mentioned, you know, adult pop and like some AC and all that sort of thing. Like, it kind of also reminds me not just of Cold Heart, but also of the Tina Turner and what was it? The Higher Love.
Steve Winwood?
Well, no, but who did the... why can't I think of his flippin' name right now? Just a second.
It was that...
Starts with a K.
The dance guy.
Yeah.
Kygo.
Yeah, so Kygo, it also makes me think of that, where, like, you would hear that on, like, AC stations, because it's like, AC would play Higher Love, and they would play Whitney Houston, so why not play this new remix, you know? So it's like a new song that appeals to a station that doesn't play new songs frequently. It just makes a lot of sense, and that's, I feel like, going to be the same case for Hold Me Closer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. It's really just another quiz, Katie. But I like doing them, so maybe I'll just change this whole part of the show to, and now it's time for Quiz Katie.
And now it's time for our Quiz Katie of the week.
I mean, I don't know.
Why not?
All right, so Katie, earlier we mentioned how Madonna ties Bob Dylan for the fourth most top 10 albums on the Billboard 200 chart among soloists. Each of them have 23. Can you name any of the acts with more top 10s than Bob Dylan and Madonna? And I'll give you a hint. There are only five other acts with more top 10s than Bob Dylan and Madonna. And before you answer, we're talking about the Billboard 200 from when it began as a regularly published weekly chart in March of 1956 through the present. So, take a wild stab here.
So I should not guess all my 1940s guesses I had.
Bing Crosby, not in there.
Okay, I'm going to start with Bruce Springsteen.
No, you're close. He has 21.
Okay, I'm in the right range. My next guess is going to be, I'm thinking someone like Tony Bennett.
No.
Okay. Is there any sort of like crooner type in the mix?
Yes.
Okay. Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra has 32.
Okay. Okay. There we go. Now we're talking. Okay.
You got one of the five.
You threw me off with the 1956 thing because I was going to say Elvis Presley. Should I say Elvis Presley?
Yeah, you should. He has 27.
Okay. Outstanding.
So you have two out of the five. And the next three are still incredibly popular acts that release albums on a frequent basis.
Like currently? Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones have the most top 10s with 37.
There we go.
So now we're just missing two more.
I don't know if there are enough like compilation type things to have put like the Beatles there, because
Beatles. It's a good guess, Katie, with 32.
There you go. I like know what their actual discography is, but wow, that's a lot of compilations. So we're missing one.
Yep.
Is the last one Elton John?
Nope.
Okay.
Elton has 21. He's not.
Okay. So he's close. All right. I'd love a hint just to narrow it down.
This person is a solo artist.
Okay. A woman?
Why, yes, a woman as well.
Barbara Streisand?
Correct, with 34.
Yes, I did pretty decent on that.
You did. So in order, here's everyone, just for kicks, here's everyone with at least 20 top 10 albums.
Okay.
The Rolling Stones with 37, Barbra Streisand with 34, The Beatles with 32, Frank Sinatra also with 32, Elvis with 27, Bob Dylan and Madonna each with 23, and then there are four artists each with 21. Elton John, Paul McCartney, including his work with Wings, Bruce Springsteen, George Strait, and Prince has 20 top 10s.
All right.
So there you have it.
That is nothing but legends. Legends only.
Legends only. There you have it. A little quiz, Katie, about the axe. Lord have mercy. So there you have it. A little quiz, Katie, about the acts with the most top 10 albums on the Billboard 200 chart. All right. We've reached the end of our big shoe. Any parting words, Katie?
I feel like I'm just like getting smarter through osmosis, like from these quiz Katies. Like, I think that like some of these artists are just like in my veins to answer now.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Just from Keith quizzing me. It's like my own personal weekly extended education course.
I appreciate that. Yeah. What song should we go out on?
Oh, man. We've talked about a lot of people today. Do you have anybody?
A classic Britney song?
I mean, I love Britney. We could definitely do that. You know what I love is Breathe On Me by Britney. That's a great song.
And it's I don't even think it was a single, was it? I don't think
it
so.
Wasn't. Yeah. It's just so good. It should have been.
I believe, didn't she sing that in concert once where she was like in a champagne glass or something? Or like a
clear
bathtub?
I only saw the Vegas residency, which she had a lot to say about that in the 22-minute recording.
You should look up on YouTube "Breathe On Me" live. I think she was in like some sort of glass bathtub or something, okay, like with a half naked mm-hmm. guy that had polka dotted hair. You know, it was a time.
There are performances of it. There are performances. So yeah, I'll be watching.
Also,
that.
It was part of her BBMA's medley that opened up the BBMA's a few years ago. Remember?
She did Breathe On Me?
It was part of the medley.
You know what that means then? That means that it's one of her personal favorite songs.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Absolutely. So then
Brittany and I were on the same wavelength. We have to go out on it.
Okay. See you guys next time.
Bye. You need to touch me, baby. Just